Good morning to you and welcome. I hope that all of us have had such a blessed week that God has led us in ways that has not only strengthened our faith in Him, but has also used us to help others to hunger and sharing what we have in our life with Christ. You know, today we are celebrating the birthday of the church, Pentecost. And by the time we finish this message, which brings to conclusion our sermon series theme, I hope we all will see that this is much more than just celebrating a special day in the history of the church. It's a reminder, as well as an honoring, of our way of life. You see, on our Eastertide series of refocusing on our calling was intended to be a time of discernment for us as believers. Our goal was very simplistic. It was for us to answer just one question: are we living God's calling on our life? Now, to help us address the question, I felt God leading me to remind us that this time of discernment was not to be done in a vacuum, which is why we began with some very intentional as well as elementary truths about our calling. Well, I started with the re-examining of how our calling is wrapped up in our identity in Christ. I could have just as easily began our series with the truth that each of us has an innate calling from God from the moment that we are conceived. As I told Missy here a week or two ago, you know, if I ever had the opportunity to preach this series again, perhaps it will preach better as I will have time to readjust and reconstruct in preparation for another Eastertide season. But regardless, the qualities and yearnings that every child is born with is always accompanied with an innate calling of God on our lives. You and I have always had a passion within us that is in direct line with the desires of God. And each of us, at different times in our lives, have lived that calling instinctually. Now, we may not have recognized it, but I believe that the good works God has prepared for us to do, you remember those days that were ordained for us, as Psalm says, those days that were written in His book prior to our birth, those days, God has prepared good work for us to do so long ago that even if we are ignorant to the saving grace of Jesus Christ, through the power of God, somehow you and I still live out that calling instinctually. Now, let me say that our identity in Christ should also help each of us, especially those of us who have experienced seasonal journeys of faith, help us at least to understand we do have and always will have a fluid calling from God on our lives. And to dismiss this truth invites us to become so preoccupied with life that we may even resist or fail to refocus on our calling. You see, failure, in my opinion, to refocus on our calling can not only rob you and I of the joy of salvation, but perhaps even rob another from a chance to experience the glory of eternity. Now, I know that everyone who is watching this morning understands and agrees with that simple statement, even if you're still wrestling with figuring out what God's calling is on your life, right? So, recognizing that truth, that is exactly why I offered a model of ministry for us to look at in the last 3 weeks of this series. What I did not know in the beginning was the way God was going to guide me or speak to me about this particular model of ministry. And if you allow me to be transparent with you this morning, looking what has been termed as the reverse model initially challenged me. I, like many of you, have grown up with the understanding and practiced a model of ministry being behave, believe, and belong. Meaning that someone had to repent of a sin or their sins and have a common agreement about beliefs before they could ever belong to the church. And listen, I don't want to misguide you. I truly believe that repentance is needed in our lives and that belief in Christ is needed for salvation. Yet Jesus never placed these demands upon individuals prior to allowing them to belong. So as I investigated the resurrected Savior for this series, I noticed that he allowed folks to just simply belong. And when I say that, friends, I want you to realize I'm talking about people who denied him, who betrayed him, who doubted him, even those who believed his mission was about an earthly kingdom instead of a heavenly kingdom. And my acknowledgement of this caused me to want to investigate further this reverse model of belong, believe, become. Now, holding this model in context, it provides for me a very different view and perspective of the discussion that between Jesus and Peter. You remember that discussion, right? It's also within our timeline of the Eastertide season. I'm specifically talking about that discussion where Jesus asked Peter three times if he loved him. While many a theologian wants to suggest that these questions are used to counter the three times that Peter denied Christ, could it also be that those three questions were not just righting Peter's wrong of denying him three times, but much more to do with the reversed model of ministry that we see Christ exemplifying over and over? I mean, could it be that Christ asked Peter the first time if he loved him, not because he had denied him once, but more importantly, to reaffirm to Peter that he belonged to Christ? Could it be that the second time he asked Peter if he loved him, it was to cement Peter's belief in Christ as well as Christ's belief in Peter? And maybe, just maybe, the third time Jesus asked Peter if he loved him was to help enable Peter to refocus on his calling so that he could become all that Christ intended him to be. You know, I cannot state specifically the reason for the questions, but I would argue this morning that my offering is as relevant as any other, because it is based on the grace and forgiveness exemplified by Jesus as he lived out the model of allowing people to belong in hopes that they would believe so that they could become the people he originally made them to be. So this morning, I want to invite you and I to look at a passage of Scripture that I believe exemplifies what becoming looks like. Because that is the last portion of our model of ministry. That is the last sermon in our series with the theme of refocusing on our calling. We're going to look at the traditional Pentecost story. So if you don't know where that's at and you have your Bibles with you at home, I encourage you to open to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And we'll be reading this morning from verse 1 through verse 21. So will you please join me where it says in verse 1, "When Pentecost day arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound from heaven, like the howling of a furious wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be an individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak. There were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. When they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages." They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "Ah, they're full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. Those people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken to the prophet Joel. In the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." You know, it is our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude each scriptural reading with the word saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God." And everyone responds saying, "Thanks be to God." Would you please join me in a prayer? Oh Lord, as we continue this morning in our discernment time of refocusing on our calling, we ask, Lord, that you help us to take what may be a familiar story to some and give it new life and new meaning and new interpretation to us. Help it, your word, to minister to our souls. Let it speak loud and clear within our hearts. Let it fill our minds with your yearnings and your passions. Help us to visualize us living out your calling on our lives. Help us to become people who know that you want to change the world through your calling on our lives. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. You know, here in this passage of Scripture, we see what becoming actually looks like. Our Scriptures are specific in detailing that all the 12 apostles were present and speaking in tongues that were native languages to the others who were also present, to all the guests and residents of Jerusalem. Our verses also are intentional about highlighting the actions and words of Peter. And once again, we see how one's belief, grounded in the hope of Christ, impacted this man, not only in the way that he spoke, but his hopes of the future, even his physical posture, as well as reshaped the very core values of his faith. And I just want to take a moment this morning to remind all of us who have alliance with Christ. Part of our refocusing on our calling and living out that calling will demand of us to find ways that help others reconstruct their beliefs from being grounded in the ways of the world to be being reconstructed and grounded in the hope that is found in and through Jesus Christ. Now, even though I mentioned and we read part of Peter's message, I want to invite you and I this morning to place our concentration more on what the becoming looked like. You see, on this day, through the power of the Holy Spirit, these men became everything they had experienced with Jesus. And the book of Acts, if you ever have a chance to read it, I encourage you to do so, because it speaks to this truth in volumes. What I do want to point out is just a few of the more obvious. First and foremost, these individuals are now overcomers. Their guilt and shame of their prior actions is no longer clouding their beliefs in Christ, their beliefs in themselves, or their embracement of God's calling on their lives. You see, becoming springs forth life and vitality. It fills us with such passion that we are unable to keep it hidden or contained. And while many would say that Peter's message was one of condemnation, or maybe a better phrase is rebuke, I would offer that in his becoming, he experienced a freedom that he wanted everyone else to experience. Maybe his message was more about his own personal reflection of his path to becoming. No doubt. What Peter believed before the crucifixion and after the ascension of Christ was drastically different. And maybe you and I are guilty for taking this truth for granted, but I want to say again, what we see in the becoming of just that one man, we see the coward of the faith becoming what he had always hoped he would be for Christ, a fearless messenger for the glory of the kingdom of God. When you and I embrace the model of belong, believe, become, we acknowledge the moral and spiritual connection of humanity, creation, and our Creator. You know, the vision of Pentecost, I believe, is twofold. First, we see that there is a calling to help folks know the saving grace of Christ and live into that relationship He offers. Secondly, as we witness the work of the gospel in the lives of others, it grows you and I in our own spiritual formation. In our journeying with others as they become, we are being reshaped in the same ways exhibited in our text. And if you don't understand what I mean, then let me just say it matter-of-factly. We are moved from being people who wrestle with doubt to people who are expectant of the movement of God in our lives. The things that once caused us to live on the side of caution are now seen as ministry opportunities. And when people say that they are hopeless, we can say or assure them that we know the one who can make all things hopeful. And while life might bring to us very scary scenarios, you and I can face them fearlessly. We have these assurances because this is in part what we celebrate on this day known as Pentecost. This is in part what the celebration of Pentecost is about. You see, our celebration of this special holy day is to remind us that the same power that transformed the early disciples is still available to transform and change us today. That transformational power works individually and corporately. And what I mean by that is this. Not only were the disciples transformed, but also the community of Jerusalem as well. For the reaction of the crowd is one of great significance that we should not miss in the reading. Please notice that not one of the apostles on this day was threatened to be stoned. Not one bystander called for the blood of these men. Yet it is believed that many who were listening not so long ago had actually called for the blood of Jesus Christ. Yet what we see in our reading today is a crowd wanting to belong so that they could become what Christ wanted them to be. You know, I guess the real challenge of refocusing on our calling actually boils down to you and I just answering one simple question. And that question is this: who do you want to become? I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.